Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
Today, I want to talk about redemption from the curse. And so I want to read to you from Galatians chapter 3, because you'll see it right here in God's word. He says in verse number 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Would you read that part out loud with me? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Notice, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And that's taken from Deuteronomy 21, verse 23. And that's why Jesus had to die on a cross. That's why he died on the tree, to bear our curse so that we could be redeemed from the curse. Now, if you would, put a bookmark here in Galatians 3, because toward the end of the message, we're going to come back to Galatians 3. So when we turn back to Galatians 3, you'll know I'm near the end, all right? So, and you can go eat some chicken. So, but you're going to see in verse number 14 that he redeemed us from the curse. Verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that's you and I, through Jesus Christ. So I've been redeemed from the curse that I could walk in the blessing that God promised Abraham. The blessing that God promised Abraham dates all the way back to Genesis chapter number 12, where God made a covenant of blessing with Abraham and told Abraham that he would bless him and that Abraham would be a blessing until all families of the earth were blessed. But notice here in verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Let's get an understanding of curses. So if you would, turn back in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, and I want to go to the 30th chapter, Deuteronomy chapter number 30. And let's talk just for a minute about a curse. Let's talk for a minute about what it means to be blessed. And we'll begin with the blessing. We make it a habit, I've been guilty, I've heard many people do it, where we look at a tangible thing, a good that may have come into our lives, and we point at it and say, isn't that a blessing? I got a new car, isn't that a blessing? And you know, we look at a new house and say, isn't that a blessing? Or a new clean suit, come on somebody, and say, ain't that a blessing? When in reality, no tangible thing is actually the blessing. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 sheds some light on the blessing. And Ephesians 1 verse 3 says that Christ hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And so when you talk about the blessing of the Lord, another verse to remember is Proverbs 10:22. Proverbs 10:22 says this, it says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. The blessing of the Lord enriches. So when you talk about the blessing of the Lord, it's an endowment. It's God's power. It's his blessing. It's his empowerment on your life. It's his favor. It's an ability that's working things for good in your life, mentally, physically, spiritually, financially. I'm going to show you here in a minute in Deuteronomy that when the blessing of God is on your life, it affects every area of your life. It affects your mind, your health, your body, your spirit. It affects everything that you own or have stewardship over. When God blessed the children of Israel, that blessing even came on the land that they occupied. So the blessing of God affects every area of our lives. And so I want you to see the impact of the true blessing of God and why Jesus died on a cross so that we could be redeemed from the curse, not so we get in some neutral zone where we can't really say anything's bad's happening, but we can't point to anything good either. We just kind of, well, you know, ain't nothing bad going on, but ain't nothing good happening either. That's not where the Lord wants you. He redeemed us from the curse so that we could walk in the blessing of the Lord. So watch this here in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and if you're there, just say amen. Now, we'll key in on verse 19. God says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. So whatever God's getting ready to say, it must be heavy, because he wants a record of it in heaven and he wants a record of it in the earth. And he got what he said, because here we are thousands of years after it was written, and we're a long way from where it was originally written, and yet we have a copy of it in the earth. He said, I want this recorded in heaven and in earth. I record this day against you that I have set before you life and death. Help me, somebody. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. So notice what he said here. He said, set before you, and I want heaven to have a record of this, and I want the earth to have a record of this, that set before you is life and death, blessing and cursing. And he says, I want you to choose life. I'm exhorting you to choose life. Notice that when we choose life, he says that both thou and thy seed may live, which means the decision we make as it relates to blessings and curses and life and death, it not only affects our lives, but it affects our children's lives. Generational curses can be passed down from generation to generation, and most of the time, they're passed down through iniquity. And that's why we dealt with being redeemed from iniquity as the first of the list of 10 things we're going to cover a few weeks ago. Because iniquity and the sin of iniquity can be passed down, and the curse that it brings can be passed down from generation to generation to generation, where you see this negative pattern coming down through the family from one generation to the next. And you might have not have known it was a reality when you said, you know, that boy's going to turn out just like your daddy. And there was something to that. And I'm not talking about something positive either. But notice God says here, set before you is a choice. We don't have to live in this mindset of what will be, and what won't be, because I feel like there's a lot of believers that have gotten lackadaisical in their faith and complacent in their faith, where they say, well, what will be, and what won't be, and if it's meant to be, it'll be, and if it wasn't meant to be, it won't be, and there's just this cruise control mindset that's not supported in Scripture. I'm seeing here where God says, set before you is a decision of blessing, a decision of curse, a decision of life, and a decision of death, and I have set this decision before you, and I'm calling on you to choose life. Now, let's go back two chapters to Deuteronomy 28. And let me show you how the blessing of God works and how a curse operates. And for your notes, let me give you one more verse. It's Deuteronomy 11:26, where God says this, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Where he's saying a blessing or a curse on your life is a decision away. Now, I grew up in a conservative home, and even though my parents didn't raise me in church, we didn't get into church till I was saved at the age of 17, about 5 years ago or so, and just kidding, but when I was raised, you know, there were words we didn't use. You didn't speak certain words in my parents' home. As a matter of fact, not only did you not speak certain words, you used certain words like ma'am, yes sir, no ma'am. Yeah, I never would have said to my daddy, what? Daddy called my name, I said, what? That's just not something we didn't use. It was a way we were raised. And so, you know, my mom would tell me about how when she was a kid, you know, if you use an ugly word, you get your mouth washed out with soap. I'm like, ooh, man, somebody called child protection. That's probably before flavored soap. It probably, you know, was nasty. Remember that old Ivory soap, man? That's just soap. That's when you think of soap, that's soap, man. That stuff won't even sink. Put in the bathroom, it's floating around right there, man. Watch this. A foul word you speak is not necessarily a curse word. In other words, if you say an ugly word that you ain't supposed to say, that's not necessarily a curse word. Even though we look at people that say an ugly word and say, man, he cusses like a sailor. Right? We don't say curse, we say cusses. That's country. We cusses like a sailor. Right? But watch this. That's not necessarily a curse word. You can say words that are not ugly, but they're curse words. Hey, did you get the job? Yeah, I did, but you know, it probably won't last. Curse words. Hey, I heard so-and-so got married. Yeah, but gonna end up just like a daddy, divorce. Curse words. I heard that so-and-so got accepted in that college. Yeah, bet you don't last a year. Curse words. See, curse words are when you speak negativity. You're saying that the outcome is going to be bad. You speak as if though there's not going to be a positive result. You put a negative comment on everything. You know, you can't just have a headache. This head is killing me. Curse words. And what I'm wanting you to see is that curses are a reality. And God has said in his word, they're set before you. They affect every area of your life. And the reason I want to show you in Deuteronomy 28 that curses affect every area of your life, because if you can see in the word of God that a curse can affect every area of your life, your mind, your body, your spirit, your assets, your day, your land, your children, if you can see in the word of God that curses can affect every aspect of your life, then maybe you will be sensitive about the blessing of God in every area of your life and not just lock God up in a building called church on Sunday morning and then walk out of the church and act like what you heard at church is not even relevant or real. See, let me give you another verse before we read this. Psalms 107 verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." So let's quote that verse out loud together. It's Psalm 107 verse 2. Let's quote that first part of that verse out loud together. Ready? "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so," which means if you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, if you have been born again by the blood of Jesus, if you know that you have been redeemed, then say so. That means your mouth should line up with his redemption. God is so serious about his word and the covenant promise of his word that he says in Psalms 50 verse 16 to the unbeliever, he says this, "What have you to do to take my word in your mouth?" Which means if you've not been born again, you don't even have a right to declare his word over your life. Jesus in Matthew 26, when he was giving his disciples the Passover meal, what we know as the Lord's Supper, our communion, he gave his disciples the cup. And when he gave them the cup of the wine, of the fruit of the vine that was symbolic of his blood, he said, "Drink all of it, for this is the New Testament, the new covenant in my blood." He said, "Drink all of it." He was saying that communion represents the new covenant that Jesus made with us. That cup embodies this new covenant that Jesus has made with us by the power of his redeeming blood. And he's saying, "Drink all of it," as if to say, don't just take a sip. Don't just have a part of what my blood provides. Drink all of this cup. Receive everything that I have redeemed you from. Don't just walk through life knowing that you've been redeemed from death. Walk through life knowing that you've been redeemed from the curse. Walk through life knowing the full capacity of redemption and walk that out. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But how can I speak in line with my redemption when I don't have that faith developed in my heart? See, Romans 10, starting in verse 8, ending in verse 17. Romans 10, verse 8 says, the word of faith, if it is operative in your life, it will be found in your heart and in your mouth. That if the word of God, if the word of faith is not in your heart and it's not in your mouth, then the faith of God is null. It's not working. It's not operative. So in between verses 8 and verse 17 of Romans 10, he basically says this: how can you confess what you don't believe? And how can you believe in your heart what you never heard? And how shall you hear without a preacher? And he sums it up in verse 17 when he says this: so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which means God has set up our lives to hear his word, and faith be deposited in our heart as we hear his word. And there's a marriage between my mouth and my heart. Jesus said in Matthew 12:38, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth speaks out of whatever's in the heart. The reason why I need to hear the word of God is because I need this word planted in my heart. Why? So that when I speak over my life, when I speak over my children, when I speak over my future, when I speak over my finances, my home, all that's in my life, I'm speaking in line with that word that's in my heart. Yet you have many born-again believers today who just curse everything. I'm not mad at nobody. I ain't trying to rebuke you. I'm trying to help you. I see it all the time. Born again believers. Oh, this head is killing me. Oh, we never gonna make it. Oh, you know, everybody's got the flu. Everybody's getting the flu. Yeah, you better watch out. Everybody getting the flu. And we take it lightly. And if somebody says something about our confession, we say, oh, I know that's what I said, but God knows my heart. In other words, you're trying to separate that tongue in your mouth from your heart. You're trying to separate the organ, the tongue in your mouth, from your heart. You're trying to say the tongue can say a thing, and it don't have nothing to do with the heart. That'd be like this bottle of water levitating and not have nothing to do with my hand. Now, if you come to church here and this bottle of water floats up in the air and my hand ain't under it, and ain't no string above it, now what are we gonna do? The point I'm making is this bottle of water needs to just get up in the air. My hand raised it in the air. And words don't just fall out of your mouth. They come out of your heart. And whatever's consistently coming out of your mouth, that is what's in your heart. And for many of us, it's negativity. It's brokenness. It is defeat. It is distress. All the things that Jesus has redeemed us from, many still speak. And then think it doesn't matter because God knows my heart. That was my tongue that said that didn't have to do with my heart. Your tongue is nothing but a muscle. It's just an organ. It doesn't think. We wish it did sometimes. Out of the abundance of the heart, let the redeemed of the Lord. Redemption is not just going to come out of your mouth. Redemption's got to exist here. You've got to know that you're redeemed. You've got to have faith in redemption. Come on, somebody. It's got to be something from inside your core. It's got to be bigger than what you see with your eyes. It's got to be bigger than what you're experiencing in this life. You've got to know in your heart what you've been redeemed from. And your mouth is always in alignment with the conviction and the faith that's in your heart. So you're not going to speak things that contradict his word. Now watch this in Deuteronomy 28. When you get there, say amen. We'll start in verse 1. I'm just going to kind of hop around a little bit in this chapter. He says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee." Imagine being apprehended by the blessing of God. It's an overtaking my life. Can you imagine that? "If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Let's get a little glimpse of what the blessing can affect. "Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field." Come on, "blessed shalt thou be in Shreveport. Blessed shalt thou be in Grand Canyon." Come on. "Blessed shalt thou be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, increase of thy kind, flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemy that rises up against you to be smitten before you. He may come at you one way, but he leaves out going seven ways." "The Lord shall command the blessing upon thy storehouses and all thou settest thine hand unto." and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Can you see this? Verse 11, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your ground, the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. You don't need to buy your blue jeans on a credit card. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe them. The point I'm making in reading this is he just said the blessing, when it's on you, affects you mentally, physically, spiritually, physically, financially. He said it'll affect your cattle if you own any. It affects your bread that you eat. If you bless, even your food you eat. Hey, are y'all hearing what I'm reading here? He didn't just put the blessing in one little spot. And no, he said it covers everything. The fruit of your body, that's the health of your body. That's your offspring, that's your children. The blessing of the Lord on every area of your life. God said, that's what I want for you. That's my best for you. But let's take a quick picture, a glimpse, you know, of the curse. Verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Move to Dallas, and that didn't work for you. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Move back home, still broke, busting, and disgusted. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when you come in. Cursed shall you be when you go out. Imagine that. Went to leave the house and the battery was dead. On the way back home, he ran out of gas. It's cursed when it came in. Cursed when it went out. See, he's showing us that the blessing affects every area of your life, just like the curse can affect every area of your life. But the good news is that there's a decision that we can make where he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I set before you life. I set before you death. I set before you a blessing and a curse. Choose life. And even if you feel like you've been handed something down that's been just following you all of your life, I'm here to tell you, and I read to you in the Word of God, that Jesus died not just any death, but he died on a cross because it was already declared for any man to hang on a tree, he would be cursed. Jesus didn't die by stoning. Jesus didn't die by some other means. He died on a tree. He died on a tree. And the reason he died on a tree was so that he could bear our curse. Why? So that we could walk in the blessing of God. You don't have to walk in a curse. You don't have to walk in a generational curse. You don't have to live in something that's been passed down in your family from generation to generation to generation. Today, you can be redeemed. That, you may have not known that was in the Bible. You may not have known that these curses that you may have not even acknowledged can be broken in your life by the blood of Jesus.
Well, I want to thank you for listening to today's message. For more information and resources, visit our website at wogm.com. I'm Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. Have a blessed week.